This week on Freight Up, the iron ore market heats up, but is this trend sustainable? Halpay weighs in on recent developments. Ben Klang discusses the Capesize roller coaster ride we've been on, and the People's Broker, Archie Smith, gives us an update on the geopolitical forces weighing heavily on oil prices.
Freight Up!
Hello and welcome back to Freight Up. My name's Fernanda, and today is a very bittersweet episode for me because it is the last time that I'll be your host as we navigate the seas of freight and commodities. But we will save our goodbyes for where they belong at the end. In the meantime, we are joined today by our new marketing executive, Jess Free. Welcome, Jess. How are you doing?
Thanks, Fernanda. Great to be here.
Now, Jess is heading up the soon-to-be-revealed relaunch of FIS Live, our freight and commodity app. Any spoilers you can give us today?
Well, the launch of version 2 is imminent, and this comes with a complete redesign of the platform. There's new products like EUAs, updated technical charting, and a custom dashboard. So this will allow you to have all the FIS markets and information you want on one screen.
I'm going to try to sneak in a sneak preview after this show, but in the meantime, this week we are bringing you updates in freight, iron ore, and of course, oil. So sit back, relax, and let's dive on in with a roundup of the latest commodity and macro news. Christophe Salmon and Jose Maria LaRocca, Trifigura's finance chief and top director, will be leaving the company in the latest shakeup at the trading house.
We also saw crude oil top $90 a barrel as stock levels tumbled and Middle East tensions continued to worry markets.
Eagle Bulk shareholders have greenlit Star Bulk takeover, a deal which will create the world's top publicly listed bulk owner with a fleet of nearly 170 ships.
And the EU is exiting winter with gas storage at record levels, helped by what was a mild winter and focused attention on the potentially crippling effect high prices and low supply could have on Europeans.
So before we get into the detail of our major commodity market, let's take a look at the broad market movements of this week. Oh, how the winds of the freight market can change. We are down across the board index-wise, week on week on freight indices. C5TC down 10% compared to last Tuesday, the 2nd of April, at $17,854. P5TC was also down 10%, closing yesterday at $14,699. Supermax less negative, down only about 3.4%, closing at $13,091. And the Handy 7TC index was down 4.7% at just a little above $13,000. So it's a sea of red across the freight board this week. And it's also worth pointing out that the Cape and Panamax indices are now also below their year-to-date of 23,834 and 14,113, respectively.
Iron ore has reversed its negative spiral of the past weeks, the 62% index recovering from $102.25 on Tuesday the 2nd to $107.55 yesterday, up 5%. For fuel oils, so moves on the high sulfur fuel oil, up 13% to $492.7. Much less of a move on the lower sulfur Singapore fuel, only up barely $1 to $633.5.
And now let's talk dry freight with Ben Klang. So Ben, Panamaxes are my personal favorite bulk carrier because they remind me of my favorite palindrome, but you strike me as the Supermax person.
Hi, Fernanda. Well, it's funny you say that because that's where all my freight career started 200 years ago. But I love my all my children equally. No, but on a serious note, it depends on what you want to achieve. They all have their own charm. For example, because of its routes and its small numbers of different cargo as Cape carries. Some use it as a proxy for the Chinese industrial growth and so on. So it all depends what you would like to achieve.
Well, it sounds like Capes have been quite the ride recently. What's going on with them?
Yes, Capes over the time since our last podcast, which was basically 2 weeks ago now almost, has really felt like the moment on the roller coaster. You know, when you drop from the main height and left your stomach where you start falling. We basically seen weaker cargo order volumes across all the major basins, which has contributed to the general negative sentiment. fundamentally speaking. And we saw on the close 27th of March, basically just before the Easter break, front month April was trading at 23,750 in volume, then traded down to 19,000 early this week to close last night at 20.25. That being said, what's been interesting down the curve is that the rates has been less affected by this negative sentiment. Q2 came back after the Easter break at 25,500, trading to a low of 23,750 before moving back to 24,625 yesterday. Cal 25, on the other hand, was slightly up, having moved from 19,750 last Tuesday to 23,75 yesterday. On the Panamax, they also came under pressure last week, not surprisingly on the prompt month. April and May slipped to 14,600 and 15,750 lows, respectively, on Tuesday last week, edging down to 14,2 and 15,375. You know, this negative sentiment, just like the Capes, was less pronounced in the latter months. Q2 of the week was only down a few hundred bucks to around 15,000. And Cal 25 basically on a non-move at 13.3. And last but not least, the Supermaxes, there was this mirror trend of the larger ships. Last Wednesday was the positive day that helped rates move up week on week. April moved up to $500 to yesterday's close at 14,375, Q2 up to 14,650, and Cal 25 was flattish at 12,775.
So Ben, what's been happening volume-wise this week?
We had nearly 42,300 lots cleared on futures and 4,300 lots on options last week. That's lower than the usual, but as you know, Jess, it was a four-day week due to the Easter holiday. The majority of the volume was on the larger sizes, Capes and Panamaxes futures. Trading saw around 3,890 lots and 3,020 lots per day last week. Supermaxes followed behind with an average of 1,240 lots traded daily last week. And it was a subdued week for options with 900 lots and 3,400 lots being cleared on the Capes and Panamaxes respectively. And as we moved on to this week, more activity shifted to the Q3 contract, along with the primary contracts April, Q2 and Cal 25. Open interest increased as position extended to further months. In addition, we saw decent interest on the voyage route C5, with 2.85 million tons traded on the front month April and May contracts.
Amazing. Ben, I could listen to you read the phone book, seriously. It's just the most soothing freight update I've ever heard. Thank you so much for that. And I'm excited to see where this tape roller coaster takes us next.
Thank you very much, Fernanda.
And now let's talk about iron ore with Haupay. The thing on my mind is this iron ore rebound that we've seen in the last few days. Is there any particular reason for the optimism?
When we talk about iron ore rebound, we have to branding our research. Like, we probably the very earliest people to predict or to have market views about this rebound in as early as late March, because we saw a recovery on the iron usage. And on the other side, we also saw improving orders on the steel side. We also evaluate projects. They're not growing projects comparing to the same period of last year or 2 years ago, but the total amount, the size is still there. So we're saying the demand is probably coming late instead of total vanishing. We're thinking if iron ore correct deep enough, we will see a rebound. It's either a slow rebound or a big rebound. We definitely won't see that it's dropping forever. And I think on the news side, we're hearing that one of the biggest news, China decreased the roof of loan prime rate. So let's see this example. Let's say if the mortgage rate is 4%, normally for banks, they normally set like a roof rate of 4% and the ceiling rate, let's say 4.1%. But now they're taking the 4% roof rate out, which means some of the commercial banks, some of the local banks, they can offer as low as they can afford. For example, they can offer as low as 3.5%. So that's a big news to house buyers. So the market think it's a stimulus on the housing area. So that's two big things happen on the market. And moreover, we have to say the global market is playing the risk off sentiment. We saw the crazy oil and crazy gold and everything else in the metal sector witnessed a huge growth in the beginning of April. So the ferrous have to be one of the other sector, but it's also supported, also following those growth at the commodity. And I think those are the major factors behind this big growth in the last 2 days.
Well, it makes sense why one of our reports is called Ahead of the Curve then, because you really are, Hal. So my next question is a bit of a toughie, but do you think this trend is sustainable?
I think the rebound will be sustainable, at least for a couple of weeks or even months left, because we're seeing like a lot of indicators on the iron ore market is improving. Like, for example, the pig iron consumption is growing up. And this growth is not like taking 1 week or two. From historical study, the growth on H1 for the pig iron usage is normally following the trajectory. It's going up and it's going up for 7 to 8 weeks. And now it's coming down or maintained at a certain level. So we will see a marginal improving on the demand side for more than 2 months, in the following 2 months or even 3 months. So on the price side, won't probably like going up for the entire 3 months, but it has a positive support from the fundamental side. And moreover, we're seeing the spread level. We're seeing the spread structure is flat. When the spread structure is flat, it's normally signal that the commodity is somewhere close to the bottom of the valuation. And the other good news is the steel margin. We're seeing the virtual steel margin in China maintained at 40 yuan per ton, which is historical low level for almost the entire Q1, but it suddenly jumped from 40 yuan per ton to 212 yuan per ton on this Monday and Tuesday. So there were a huge growth on the margin side, which gave the steel mills enough room to buy raw materials. I think last but not least, let's watch the global market, see if there's a depreciation on US dollars, or on the other side, if the metal sector maintains strong, so which can all become very strong support for the iron ore market as well.
Well, how it sounds like we're just going to have to wait and see, but luckily we have you to do that for us. So thank you so much for your update, Hal. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
Archie, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Doing good. Last episode.
Sad. Very, very sad. What a journey it's been.
Yeah, the end of an era. But the People's Broker will go on. So that's all that matters.
The show must go on, Fernanda.
Absolutely. So let's dive on in here with the big headline here. Crude has broken the upside of this year's range and rallied above $90. Can you give us a bit of insight into what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, this month it's been a lot more exciting for the crude after what was a really range-bound Q1. That front month contract traded like a $5 range for Q1. It was kind of 83 to 87, whatever it was. And so for it to finally actually have a bit of direction, it's been quite exciting for us. There's obviously the persistent factors of the geopolitical tensions in the Middle East that's added to the fire. As well as this, I think, you know, the market's actually really kind of starting to feel that tightness in the supply from the OPEC cuts. Obviously, OPEC were cutting production kind of all the second half of last year into this year. And now I think the market's really starting to feel it. I know a few people in the market said that OPEC have very much regained control of oil prices. Which is obviously what the cuts set out to do, right? OPEC said that their production cuts are going to continue into Q2 of this year. So that's bolstered prices. And then obviously there's been the ongoing issues in the Middle East, which on that contrarily have also offered some downside pressure on the days where news has reported, oh, you know, ceasefire talks are making some progression. We've seen prices come off, but, you know, then it's all very mixed news on that front. You know, one day it's, oh, ceasefire talks are making progression. And then the next day it's, oh, one of the parties, whether it's Israel or Hamas, have rejected a ceasefire deal. And then markets go back up. So it's all kind of here and there on that front. But it definitely seems like for the moment, crude prices are on the up.
Sing spreads are coming off in the front. Why is that?
Yeah, so on the fuel side of things, we've seen a lot, well, on the low sulfur Sing spreads, the 0.5 stuff, they're really tight in the front contracts, going down to like $2, sub $2. In the high sulfur stuff, it's actually got into the negative territory. I'd say the main reason for this is, and what we're hearing from some physical traders in Singapore, is that there's ample supply in the Singapore ports, which is making the stuff in the front a lot cheaper. We're also seeing front cracks come off a little bit, and a little bit of kind of lack of liquidity. I think there's been a lot of, there's been a couple of Sing holidays this month. There's one actually today. There's less kind of flow going through the market. As you can see, the prices come off a little bit. But I think, yeah, they're definitely one to watch. It's not ideal for those who have exposure hedged that are looking to roll it to the next month, because you're getting less bang for your buck there. It begs the question, do we kind of hit the floor here with the May-June Sing spreads and bounce back up later in the month? Who knows? But yeah, I mean, they're certainly very, very narrow at the minute.
Well, Archie, stick a fork in you. I think you're done.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure to work with you over the past year, Arch.
Fernanda, it has. It's sad news that this is your last one, honestly.
It's definitely very bittersweet. Well, that's it for this week. Thank you so much for joining us, and make sure to subscribe by clicking the subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts from. Also, make sure you're following us on LinkedIn or get signed up for our FIS Live app to make sure that you never miss any freight and commodity analysis from FIS. It has been an honor to serve as your host over the past year. I'd like to thank Neil Veglio, our show producer, for bringing the glamour to our show. And ultimately, I'd like to thank you for joining me as I learn to navigate the seas of freight and commodities. Catch you later.
Thanks again for joining us, and see you in a couple of weeks' time on FIS's Freight and Commodity podcast, Freight Up. Freight Up!